Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We are in a big tent. Mitch is here. Tandler's here. Pete
what
is
up?
Here. Pete is on probation for undisclosed reasons. Pete is in the serious doghouse, and I'm not sure when he gets out. I'll let you know. Lot to talk about. We got to start with the first round rookie, Daron Payne.
Yes.
2 to 3 weeks out. He's going to spend a week in a boot. Wow. This is all from the ankle injury sustained yesterday during 11-on-11 drills. Scale of 1 to 10, RT. Big deal, not big deal. It's not a big deal.
No, it's not. Wait, so 10 is the biggest deal possible.
10 is what I was making the
10 Josh. Is the Josh Doctson MRI.
Yeah. So going from there, you don't like it, but it's probably a 5 or a 6.
It's tough for a rookie to miss that much time. You know, if this goes 3 weeks, that's a long time.
It's tough for a rookie to miss that much time. It's also tough for the team because obviously he's making the team.
Right.
So you're going to end up maybe having to keep an extra D lineman because you're not sure how early he
no.
is.
No.
Yeah, so you think they're still going to be able to keep 10 linebackers?
Yeah. Taylor's got all the linemen making the roster
anyway. 6.5 weeks away from the start of the regular season. It's a 2 to 3 week injury.
And to
cut to 53 is September 1st.
That's the thing.
That's more
moving
than
the cuts back, that yeah. it's 90 the whole way through the preseason, they don't need to keep
yeah.
anybody.
Gruden tried to downplay it and say that's not a big deal and that he's in great shape and that he's very smart. And Kerrigan said the same thing, that Daron, he has faith in him. And, yeah, that may be true, but – this is important time.
You can be in great shape, but if your ankle's messed up, your ankle's messed up.
And you need to learn. And they've had their last two first-round picks have had injury issues, so it's just kind of flashbacks to that. It's like a 5, but it's a
hot 5.
You don't want to have that 5.
It's a hot 5.
With a bullet.
It's a hot 5.
It's a 5+.
It's a 5+. All right. I'll go 5+. Whatever the hell we're saying, hot 5. I'm cool with that. The position-wise, every football player has to learn, right? But position-wise, this isn't as dangerous. D-line is D-line. You know, right. Maybe there's some stunts and stuff, but, oh, God, Mitch is going to get such
a – don't insult the big one.
Oh, God, if you could have seen
wide receiver's
that eye roll.
Missing 2 or 3
if a wide out –
yeah,
wide
when
out,
Dotson did it, it's
right,
a massive
– right, a wide out has to build that – there's no one throwing the ball to Daron Payne. There's no timing routes with Daron Payne.
8 steps, turn around, and catch the ball. What's so hard about that?
You're such an idiot. You're just trolling at this point.
I am. I'm just messing with you.
If there is a position where a rookie has to miss time, D-line ain't the worst place.
It's not the worst place.
Okay. I actually – you give me all the position groups. I think that's probably the best place to miss time.
Least
bad place to miss time. Well said, Taylor.
Thank you.
So
– I know a certain coach that would disagree with you.
I'm sure. Well, actually, it'd be cool if we ever got to talk to Jim Tom. Cause
that'd be the biggest pod we've ever had. Just
oh
get
gosh.
Jim Tom Sewell on there.
I love Jim Tom.
Yeah, dude. He's great.
Love him.
He's a leader of big men. It can't get much better for you.
All right. Hang on, Pete. Damn it. You're on probation. We're making Pete sit on a cooler right now. Yeah. Pete doesn't even get a chair.
We have a live studio audience, by the way.
Yeah, this
That's
is
three
awesome.
Three people.
Huh. We got Mike Miller and the Lamb family.
Nice.
Actually, Steve.
For the record, I have my finger on the mute button for Pete. Ready to go.
Steve, come in here real quick. This is a very, very cool story. Steve is a big-time listener, and you actually use our dumbasses to make you exercise. Do I have this right?
Yeah, you heard that?
You can move the mic up. You don't have to kneel down.
Yeah, actually I did, JP. I had a heart problem where I went in for the cardio catheterization. I was about
That sounds like higher than a five.
Yeah, I was at about 310 pounds and knew I needed to lose weight. And since as of January 1st, I've lost 65 pounds.
Wow.
And I literally listen to you guys. I save your podcast and walk and listen to you guys. So
I wouldn't say I'm getting emotional, but
I've got another 40 pounds to go.
That's kind of damn
That's
cool.
Awesome, man. Thank you for sharing the story listening.
Glad we could do our small part.
Keep fighting the good fight, dude.
Yeah, you guys keep up the good work.
We will.
Yo, he has another 40 pounds to go, which means we have a lot more podcasts we got to keep going.
Hey, they're coming out daily until the end of the year. So
Steve's also wearing the dope Tom Wilson Fight for Old DC breaking T-shirt. I love that shirt. Shout out to my boy Jamie Mottram that runs that company. All right. What the hell were we talking about?
We did pain.
All right. Oh, my list. I got a list.
Yeah.
All right.
Your crumply list.
Yeah. All right. We talked about Deron Payne. I have a Chris Thompson interview that you guys absolutely need to listen to.
Such a good guy.
Thompson talking about Kirk versus Alex was really interesting. And, like, the subtle differences in the huddle, like how they call snap counts and stuff. It's a little bit of football porn for those that like it. We're going to get a Josh Doctson update. Big man had Alex Smith mic'd up today.
Today we had Alex Smith mic'd up.
All right, we're going to go to that later. And Pete is on probation.
We're gonna go I wrote that later.
Yeah, it's going to take some time to turn that audio around.
I thought that runs today.
No. We mic'd him up today. It'll take a couple days to turn that audio. We'll get it to you probably Monday I was to get it.
My list is incorrect.
I'm sorry I misled you a little bit.
You did.
But
you're not on probation. Only Pete's on probation.
But Alex,
still
Alex
stick around
up.
For Chris.
Well, the Chris Thompson interview.
Did you play word association with him? Because I love that game.
What he told me about Darius Geis is people, it's going to be clickbait internet shit immediately.
Which I will probably be writing.
Yeah.
You'll be clicking on my clickbait shit.
Whoa, Pete, you're not allowed
That's
to drink on TV.
Cursing.
You're not allowed to curse on the pod.
By the way, Chris talked about how the difference in the huddle. It's wild how efficient Alex Smith is in the huddle.
Dude, I wonder if they'll get to the line faster. Because Chris said it's so much faster.
As you're listening to him call plays, it's amazing the lingo that he picked up, how quickly he picked up the lingo. I mean, he's in and out.
The guy got into Harvard. He's smart.
He did. He literally walks in, calls a play, says what it's on. They break, and they're at the line.
Who of the four of us has the best chance to get into Harvard?
Oh, it's dead silent. I have a cousin who goes to Harvard. That might help me. My dad was a Harvard law
school. One of us took
guy.
An unofficial visit to Harvard for football.
I have one brother.
I'm taking an unofficial visit.
visit.
I have one brother who went to MIT. I got another brother who can't spell it.
Taylor.
Taylor's got jokes.
Oh,
wait. And I'm sorry, Bob. Segment. Bob's the one that listens to the podcast. John, the MIT student,
does not.
What's wrong
with John?
So I don't know. I'll try to get him.
I don't care if he listens.
Just a joke at your
I don't
event,
care if he
Bob.
Listens, but he better subscribe.
That's right.
That's what I told all my friends. I don't care if you listen. You got to subscribe. All right. The guy that hates sticks probably getting pissed, so let's talk a little football. Josh Doctson.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, let me get bouncing off of
Back
Chris Thompson.
Stick.
Sure.
The difference is there. He spoke to the media for the first time since coming to camp.
Chris did?
No.
Alex.
Doctson did.
Doctson did. Okay.
Talking about Doctson.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
You just said let me go back to
oh,
Chris.
Oh, yeah. No.
The segue is to Alex.
Segueing
okay.
to
Fire away, RT.
Alex Smith. You know, he said what he likes, one of the things he likes about working with Alex is that on the way back after the play, on the way back to the huddle, he will either give him encouragement or give him a pointer, you know, maybe should have broken that route, you know, half a yard sooner and things like that. Sort of the implication being that he wasn't getting that in the past. So, you know, I think the receivers really appreciate, like, the immediate feedback from the cornerback, the quarterback, excuse me, right there when they're getting ready to get back in the huddle.
I joked earlier about the 8 steps turnaround catch a ball, but Alex is so precise with the steps that he talks about first step right foot, first step left foot, plan on your left foot versus right foot, and how quickly they get out, and that's part of his timing is which foot they plant with to make the cuts. And he talks to the players about which foot he wants them to cut on so that he knows when the in or the out or the whatever cuts happen.
Well, you talk about precision. So we asked Josh Norman for his word on Alex Smith.
Yeah.
He said precise. We asked Paul Richardson, completely independent of the Norman interview. Richardson had no idea what Norman said, unless he's a listener. Maybe he is.
That'd be sick. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. Hey,
but
shout out.
He said precise. So, like, clearly the players see it. They notice what's going on.
He was, like, not that I want to compare him to, not that I'm comparing him to Kirk, but.
You're comparing him to Kirk.
Kirk had.
And explain that you mic'd up Kirk for 3 years.
For three years, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of
the,
Kirk.
The access Mitch gets with those mic'd up, what gets published in Redskins Nation and on our air and on our websites are cool, but that's edited and approved. You know what I mean? Like the team, Mitch gets to see way more than emerges to the public.
This is correct.
Yeah.
Kirk was a guy who was very personable and would have conversations with trainers and water boys, and Alex was dead on balls all football the entire day. Like, there was no, like, at no point was he really having any sort of off the beat conversation. He sat with Kevin Hogan while they were stretching, and all they did the entire time was talk specific plays, and I want, you know, you got to look for this and on this play and this on that. It's wild how laser focused he is.
Like
so he's not going to be rapping Hamilton out there, probably.
Huh. We got some good stuff. We got some good stuff.
Okay.
You teasing anything here, big man?
We got some good stuff.
Would you describe me as laser-focused?
On certain things, you're laser-focused. Like you're saying I'm on probation.
You're probation.
Actually, since I'm on probation, yeah, JP, you're super laser-focused. But you remind me of Alex Smith in a lot of ways. Another thing about Doxson is obviously, the first couple questions were about his injury, his precautionary MRI. He kept using the phrase tune-up. It's just a tune-up. His car needs an oil change, needs to be checked out. That's what he was comparing the MRI to.
And if you need an oil change, go to Butler Automotive Service in Rockville. That's my guy, yep. Cliff Butler.
I missed when we ranked guys. But, yeah, Josh, the interview started off kind of slow. It was his normal one-word or two-word answers, but then he got more comfortable and had some interesting stuff like the Smith talk about Kirk and Smith. So,
you think the four of us could use a body tune-up like Josh got?
Dude, Richmond just kills
me. We need a precautionary MRI on your ankle.
Dude, I'm all right. I'm all right. I actually feel all right today.
Actually, surprisingly, me too.
Yeah. Last night was a night. I'm going to tell a little story at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned for that.
You should stick around for it. It's going to be well worth it.
You guys, you want to do one thing? You want to go to Thompson? What do you want to do? Produce, Pete. Make a decision.
We've done the player interviews at the end. Do you want to
Let's do it right now.
Yeah, let's do it Thompson right now.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
For most of the 2017 season, you were the Redskins' offensive MVP. You were having one of your best years ever last year. Mm-hmm. Then the freak injury, the broken leg in New Orleans. How are you feeling? Let's start there.
Feel pretty good. Today was actually one of my better days out of these 3 days. I'm still just trying to get over some pain, but, you know, everything is healed and everything for the most part. And it's just kind of taking everything day by day and just taking it slowly and be able to get some more work tomorrow and just continue to try to add more and more each and every day.
Is Jay going to give you days off?
Yeah, they already kind of told me that I'll get some CT days.
There you go.
So I'm looking forward to it. You know, just they're taking a good care of me, and just got to give it my all every day and just be smart.
What does it mean for you, a guy that didn't have the easiest transition into the NFL, to say the least, Now you're a veteran. Now you're getting veteran days off. Now, some of that is coming off an injury, but I bet you'd be getting those regardless.
Yeah.
You've arrived with this team in the league. I mean, the level of play you hit last year was significant. What does that mean for you?
It's big for me. This is I expected a lot from myself from day one, and you know I had to go through a journey to be able to get where I am now, and I'm still not where I want to be. You know, I want to be known as the best third down back in this league. So I still
have
a way to go.
Who has that title right now?
It's a lot of guys out there. I think you look at guys like Deion Lewis, you look at Giovanni Bernard, guys like that. I think they're all up there at the top. Theo Riddick, all of those guys. So it's, for me, you know, just trying to be at the top of that list and doing more things to just help my team win, put us in some good positions.
Last one on the leg. You said you're still dealing with some pain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal?
Yeah, it's normal right now just because I'm going against some bodies flying at me now. So the cutting and route running that I was able to do, you know, on my own was just against air and not, you know, kind of going full speed. So it's things like that that's causing me to have pain, being able to make that sudden cut. And it's things like that I'm gonna just have to get over time. And the doctors pretty much told me that the pain will just keep going away, not to really worry about it.
Are you a little scared to get popped on the leg?
Oh, of course I am. Yeah, I've been even when we're doing individual drills, I've been like making sure I keep my leg back because I'm still thinking about it. Like it's sensitive to touch, so I can imagine if somebody, you know, maybe hit it with a helmet or something like that, you know, once we get into a game. But like I said, they told me that the pain will keep gradually going away over time. So I just got to kind of be patient with it and be smart out here at practice until that goes away.
When do you think mentally you won't be thinking about it?
I think I have to start doing a lot of team reps. And as I do those reps and be able to make those sudden cuts, you know, without everything just kind of being choreographed, I guess, that's kind of when I think I'll start getting over it. And then, you know, whether I play in the preseason or not, it's just until I take that first hit on my right side, that's when I'll really get over it.
How low were you emotionally after the injury? Maybe those couple days after that Saints game.
Oh, it was bad. You know, I cried a few times. I had some sad days just because I was having the best season of my career.
You were killing.
And you know, I thought that last year was going to be that year for me, and it just all stopped in one play. And but I received so much love and support from my family, friends, fans, you guys, like everybody, and it's helped me through this process to continue to keep my spirits up and be able to fight to get back out here.
All right, football now. You told me the other day you're working on getting your personal feel with Alex Smith on the field.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's going pretty good. I have to get used to how he addresses the huddle and everything. It's different than what Kirk used to do. And I could tell, like, all the other guys were in sync with him because they've been with him through OTAs and everything. And just the way he lets us know when the snap count is or what the snap count is, how the play is, he spits things out, you know, pretty quick and it flows. And it did with Kirk too, but Kirk would he would let us know like three or four times what the snap count was on. And Alex, he kind of says it. He says it, then he spits out the play, and it's just boom. And then he let us know one more time. And, you know, all the guys, they're used to it, and they've adjusted to it. And that's one thing I got to get used to. Then I have to get used to him as a quarterback. And his arm motion has kind of thrown my eyes off a little bit.
I noticed today he'll drop a little sidearm here.
Yeah, yeah. He can sidearm it, and then when he just goes over you know, overhand or whatever, it's pretty slow, but the ball comes out fast. So yesterday I dropped a pass because I was expecting it to be like real slow based off his arm motion, but the ball like kind of shot at me and I dropped the pass. And then today was just, I dropped one today where it's more so just getting a feel of what he's thinking and what he's seeing as a quarterback. I didn't like break the route off sharp enough, and he was expecting me to, so the ball kind of, it was right where he wanted it to be, but I was a little off. So it's things like that, and we talked it over after the play, but it's things like that that I just have to get a feel for with him, and we'll get it together.
What's that timeline like?
It doesn't take that long. It's just more so I'm only doing 7-on-7 right now, so I've been getting like 3 reps with him in a day. So, like I said, from tomorrow and hopefully moving on, once I start doing team reps and stuff, I'll really get a feel for him then, and then it's easy. It's simple from there.
Have you told Jay, like, hey, I need this work if you want me to work with the new quarterback?
Yeah, well, Kev, our quarterback's coach, he told us that whenever I wanted to do some extra work with him, we could, in, like, special teams periods and things like that. But it's kind of hard for me now because I do individual and then I have to sit out for 25 minutes until 7-on-7 starts, so I have to warm back up. But once I get started with these team reps, we'll really be able to get a lot of extra work in because I'll be warm and moving all the time.
So you talked about the differences between Kirk and Alex in the huddle. That's really interesting stuff. You're also one of the few people that I think kind of opened up a little talking about Kirk last season. You said on the radio that, you know, maybe he wasn't all the way in because he knew the contract situation and all that stuff. How different is it with Alex here now as far as locker room side of things?
I think,
and if I was wrong on any of that, correct me.
No, I think Kirk, me and Kirk, we had a good relationship with each other, and we talked about, you know, us, me and him being together for years to come. But I know a guy, like, when you're going on a year-to-year basis, after a while, I mean, human nature, at a point you kind of get, I guess, clocked out a little bit sometimes because you don't know if you don't know if you're going to be here or not. And it kind of, sometimes it could affect your mindset or something like that. But me and Kirk, we never had any problems or anything like that. But I think for, like, the guys, what I wanted is to have a quarterback here that we know is going to be here for years to come. It was just every year we didn't know
right. What
was going to happen.
It wears on you, right?
Yeah, it wears on you. It wears on the players. And now we have a guy here, and it's – we don't have to worry about, like, all the quarterback drama or who's going to be the guy next year. It's like we know this; he's going to be our guy for the next few years, and we move on with him. And Alex, he's been in the league for a very long time, too. So he brings a lot of leadership with him, and we're just excited to have him.
Let's do a little word association. I've been doing this. It's been fun. I'm gonna say a player, and then you, first word that comes into your mind about that person. All right. We'll start with Trent Williams.
Trent Williams. Money man. That's two words.
It can be a hyphen.
But when I think of Trent, I just see money. And besides the player he is, I think he's the best left tackle ever. But he got a nice little bag on him, too.
All right. Let's go to the defensive side of the football. Mason Foster.
Dog. I like Mason's approach to the game. He just he just has that dog in him, and he has that fight in him. He just he loves the game, and I like how he approaches it.
Running backs coach Randy Jordan. I thought I'd get a laugh there.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to just say funny. I like Coach Jordan. He has his ways. You know, he never lets us forget how fast he was and how long he played in the league. And I love it. I love that about him. And, you know, he keeps it interesting in the meeting rooms and everything. He's a fun guy to be around.
Let's keep it in the running back room. Rob Kelly.
Rob Kelly. Son. That's my son.
Does he know that?
Know that. He know that. I tell him all the time. He's my little son. But
he looks, by just cutting his hair, he looks like he dropped 15 pounds. He looks
like a different person. He looks like a totally different person. Totally. He said he feels like a different person, too.
He told me that he thinks people are, like, nicer to him on the streets because he cut his hair.
I couldn't believe that.
Darius Geis.
Childish.
You gotta keep going on that one, though.
That's my dude. I love him. He's fun to be around, and he's young, and not childish in a bad way, because that can be taken, you know, in a bad way. But he's just young and full of energy. Like, he's just one of those guys that he doesn't need to sleep. He doesn't need to eat right, but he can just come out here. He doesn't need to stretch or anything, and he could come out here, be full speed, do it, run all day, and he never gets tired. So you see, that's what you see in a child. Like, when you were a kid, you could eat anything, you could do anything with no problem, didn't worry about stretching, and you could go out, do stuff full speed, and he can run for days, and you could run for days too. So that's what I see.
There's going to be, on the internet, Chris Thompson calls Darius Geis childish.
That's okay.
That headline's
coming. Okay. I've already said it to Geis too, so right. he know that'll never be taken the wrong way.
This is it. I've taken up too much of your time. This is your opportunity to talk directly to Redskins fans. Tell them whatever you want. Whatever you want from them, whatever you're going to give them, the floor is yours.
Just want to say I appreciate you guys' support. You know, going into this season, I'm gonna give you everything I have in me. You know, if I'm having any pain in my leg, I'm gonna fight through it for you guys. And I love you guys. So thank you for your support.
So, like I said, calling him childish is gonna get the clicks, but the explanation makes it almost endearing.
I would say more childlike.
Childish would be better. Chris is the best, man.
Way to put it. He's the best. He's the best.
He's just a legitimate nice dude, like, easy going,
self-made, went from practice squad cut all the
right.
time
and I asked him about like what does it mean to be like established in the NFL now. He's like, it's cool.
Also, like, thoughtful and insightful. Do you remember
little dicey though that he's still having pain in the leg?
Do you remember when we were in New Orleans and the injury happened?
Yeah.
Like,
the locker room was wrecked.
The locker room was crushed, and they carted him out.
Just because he was playing spectacular football.
Right. No. Because losing that guy.
The way they did.
But they carted him out, like, right in front of the media. Well, yeah, that was a killer. They carted him out right in front of the media, and, like, it was one of those times that, like, you could look around at everyone was like, man, this is a loss. Like, we were, you know, he's such a great dude.
And the offense never recovered.
No, not even close.
All right, it's time for one thing, and I'm actually going first so nobody gets to steal mine, because every day somebody's been stealing mine. What?
Go ahead.
Okay. Fabian Moreau. That's my one thing today. Orlando Scandrick did not practice. I almost 100% think it was just a veteran day off. Yeah. Just kind of
didn't have any wraps on or anything.
Hey, man, you're fine. You don't have to go today. Who knows? We'll find out tomorrow when Jay talks if there's more than that, but I doubt it. Scandrick didn't practice, which meant Norman was on the field, Dunbar was opposite him, and Moreau in the slot. He looked pretty good. What'd you think, RT? He was down the field with Crowder a couple times. He showed a really good closing speed on a play down the field. I caught up with him after, and I asked. I was like, how'd it go out there? He's like, good, man. It's good to be out there playing. I was like, do you like playing in the slot? He said, I like being on the field. So he's going to play wherever they need him just so he can play.
Yeah, he did do a few good things. There was that one pass, though, that Alex Smith threw to the sideline
That was just a great ball.
It was a great ball.
He was in zone, too. That wasn't
he got up there. Moreau got up there pretty high,
right.
And it just went over his fingertips.
Is that the one
right
Paul?
To Paul Richardson.
Yeah.
That was a good play by Smith and Richardson, more than a bad play.
That was a 7-on-7 specialty.
Right.
He ran around back there for 15 seconds.
And it was zone coverage. Like, Moreau, like, he didn't get beat on that.
It's a great throw. It's a great
It was a great throw.
Great throw.
And Alex had another dime when he another bootleg, shocker, they're moving that dude around constantly, went downfield to Crowder. Crowder got behind Monte on that. You remember that one coming towards the tents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's moving around more, Steve or Alex?
Steve, I mean, maybe Alex is a listener too. Who knows?
We'll find out.
Mitch, you want to go?
My one thing just I spent all day with Alex Smith was with Alex, one of the cool things watching him warm up.
Did you see the girl in the old school Niners Alex Smith jersey?
That was pretty great. Somebody yesterday had a KC Alex Smith jersey, but like the throwback Arrowhead one.
Yeah.
It was pretty
neat. The girl, I talked to her for a second. She's like, I've loved Alex Smith since college. This is the most incredible moment of my life. I was like, all right, cool.
No, he took some snaps with from Tony Bergstrom. So it was a good Utah connection right there.
Gorgeous.
That's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut for you. Anyway, the cool one thing I was just going to say is he works on throwing the ball from so many different angles.
Dude, he has different arm motions.
He does. So he warms up, you know, over the top, throwing right, throwing left, and then he kind of works a three-quarter and then a sidearm, and you just see him. And with each of them, he's over the top, right, left, three-quarter, right, left, sidearm, right, left. He really works on all the different throws, and as he's throwing them, he's talking the plays through in his mind. This is this play, right? You know, move to the right, throw sidearm. This is this play, you know, go over top. It's cool to see the kind of the way the mind of a quarterback works.
That's a good one.
That's a good little tidbit. Another kind of little subtle thing I noticed: Maurice Harris and Robert Davis, they are both competing for spots on the roster. They might not both make it. One might stay, one might go.
I saw Mo in the slot today more than I was used to. Did you notice that? Now, I know they like to move those guys around plenty,
right.
But
it's
just
weird
Davis
to
see a tall,
lanky
guy.
Slot, which
right.
might be a bit. You know, just a very small thing I noticed. They were kind of running the same. It was it wasn't even 7-on-7. They weren't being covered.
Oh.
It was against air. But and I wrote about this in my live blog, which I do every day from the sidelines here. On
takes pictures with a
NBC
digital
Sports
camera.
Washington, yes.
Is Did you have that out?
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I got it out for a while.
Took a picture of Preston Smith. I saw it.
I did. Could be a good image for an article. But anyway, very little thing that I noticed was Davis. They run the same. You know, go about 5 yards and then cut
cross
to the outside.
Or slant thing.
It was taking. Davis needed like 3 little choppy steps. To change the momentum to get out there. Harris, and they ran this a couple of times, so I noticed. Harris, it was 2 steps, 2 little chop steps before he made his cut. Now, it's a little thing that can make a big difference when you want to get
fight
separation.
Fight for that inch.
Yes.
You die for that inch.
Wait.
Life's about inches.
Yes. And then.
That's the big man.
Yep. Right after that, they ran a down and in. One right after the other. Exact same ball from Alex. Davis right out here in front of him, dropped it.
Yeah, he like jumped up and tried to make kind of a little more flashy catch, dropped it, and then
Harris just like kind of ran right through it
and
made the catch. So maybe right now, if it's important, I think there's a little bit of an edge to Maurice Harris.
Interesting. And I have long said he's got the best hands on the team.
Best hands on the team.
But
he does, dude.
But it's not just hands. Those little things like making
that
those
stuff
cuts
makes a big difference because he's
quicker.
Not a speed guy. But if you can be where the quarterback needs you to.
Just that little chop step quicker than the other guy.
That was another good one, Taylor. You. We're on a hot streak, boys. Don't screw it up, probation people.
I actually have like a real observation. Oh,
Mitch is ready.
That rattles me. He has his hand on the cord to just rip it and mute me. But I watched a little bit of Adonis Alexander today because I asked Jay in the podium. I know we talked about this in recent pods, whether him missing OTAs and rookie stuff was a big deal. And Jay said it does set him behind and that he is a little bit more behind from the other guys. So I was watching him, and I noticed that Alexander looks way more comfortable in kind of off coverage than press. When he's playing press, his first step, it's almost like he's kind of stumbling backward. And as he takes that first step back, he really leaves a lot of space for the receiver to get on him. When he's in off coverage, it's a lot easier for him to read stuff, So Alexander may be the OTAs, the rookie camp, whatever. He just isn't super comfortable. He's obviously a rookie. He's been three practices in, but he's just a bigger guy. He almost looks like a 3-4 pass rushing linebacker or something the way he's built. But Adonis Alexander is a little rustier.
But he is out there pre-practice, every practice with Torian. And I think I saw today he was with Quentin Dunbar working different hand placements and stuff like that.
Right.
So, you know, he's raw, just like Jerron Christian and a bunch of other of those guys. So give him some time.
Yeah, you're allowed to be raw right now. All right, anything else? I'm going to tell a story.
I want to hear a story time with
Shtick, the guy that hates Shtick. Hang up.
Story time with JP Tandler.
Stop. Listen, I don't know. How do you stop?
1986?
Just press stop. I don't know.
Quit the app. Hit the
so
X button.
I'm trying to be a little more organized, and I am taking I'm taking notes.
You're
in
writing
spots.
Pod notes on a roster that's crumpled up and lies on the ground. Super
but
organized.
I've been putting notes in the Slack thread, stuff like that. So last night I wanted to make sure I remembered something Dummy Pete said, so I texted it to Mitch, and here's what I wrote. This is in quotes. This is what Pete told me. Well, I've hit rock bottom. I just tried to buy a Maria Joe man. So what that means, however, so I think this was autocorrect.
Maria Joe.
Pete and Matt Parrison, one of our producers, is doing a great job. Pete's doing an average job.
We sang karaoke,
last night.
Yes. Last year. So we went to do it again.
You're talking over each other. I need to get this
right. Shut up, Pete. So we had a real good dinner at Comfort in downtown Richmond. Great place. Maybe the best pimento cheese I've ever had.
Oh, so good.
So good. And then after that, we went to Baja Bean, which is kind of our hangout. When on nights we're really going for it, we go to Baja Bean.
Which is why I usually skip it.
Yeah, Tandler didn't come.
If you want to see us in our element, come to Baja Bean on a random night.
I don't think I can go there anymore, dude.
you'll probably be there tonight or tomorrow.
We're going to Sine tonight.
That's fine.
Fact. Yeah,
I just like that we have plans. Tell the story.
So the bar is pretty crowded. We're having fun, whatever. It's karaoke night. Pete is all in on karaoke, like fired up.
Yeah, somebody came in the back bar and was like, they're doing karaoke. And I was like, Mitch, Parrison, karaoke.
Mitch didn't do it, though.
I know.
First of all, I sang last year when we sang Creed in honor of Kirk.
Yeah.
However, I didn't know the song well enough this year.
So Pete also wouldn't tell us what song
he
picked.
Tell us what song he
told me, and then like I just started telling people eventually. I was done with the surprise. So the song was Miley Cyrus. I can't even say it. Miley Cyrus, Party in the USA.
It's just a crowd pleaser, a banger.
But the problem is there's like 25 people in front of them on the list.
You submit your index card, and we kept looking. All right, are we next?
Shocker, I was growing impatient.
Shocker.
I was like, we got to get out of here. It's getting late. I want to go home. I want to go to sleep. So we pooled all of the cash we had.
$8.
There were like 10 of us. Combined, we had $8 of cash.
I contributed a single, and I think
I had two $1 bills.
Parrison gave the
$5. We're all millennials. None of us carry
cash. Somebody had a $5 bill. Yeah. So $8.
Eight crumply dollars.
I'm like, all right, Pete, go give it to the guy to move you up the list.
So I walk up to him. I say, hey, man, how does $8 sound? Will that help us bump up? He goes, I wouldn't do it for $100. He was the most ethical karaoke operator I've ever seen. Like, do you have to maintain the integrity of the line? Let me sing. I mean, we had a guy give like a weird 80s rock concert.
People take karaoke so serious.
What was the song that was 12 minutes long the day the
music
died?
You know that
song.
Oh, we forgot about this. Tandler.
My
favorite song ever.
Yes.
He had no idea what it was or who sings it.
I'm stunned.
And then...
So I guess
hold on. Let's tell the people what song it is.
American Pie, which Tandler has sung in public in Arizona.
At a non-karaoke bar in Arizona.
Who
needs karaoke?
At a restaurant.
It was a
restaurant. Who needs karaoke?
Right. So Tandler sang the whole damn thing.
20 minutes later, he finished.
This is the best part. Pete has no idea the song. Like, it's American Pie. He's like, who sings it? Don McLean, right?
Yeah.
Pete said, the guy from Die Hard sings American Pie?
I love you to death, Pete. That's incredible.
Such a mutt.
I love you.
That was when I was flying high. Getting rejected by the karaoke operator was a real, real kick to the balls.
All right.
So, as a present to our podcast listeners.
Nah, dude. Do you have the audio?
Oh, I have the audio.
Let me listen to it, and maybe I'll drop it in here.
That's going to have to be an off-mic discussion.
I can do an excerpt.
All right.
An excerpt.
We'll see. I tell you what, tweet us if you want to hear the god-awful audio.
We'll put it at the end of the next podcast.
If enough people want it,
we
need like a groundswell of support.
We need like hundreds.
I don't know, hundreds.
Dozens?
Tens.
Tens. Okay. Dozens.
If we get tens.
If we get tens, multiple tens. Like,
yeah, or if you want to send us money so I can bribe the karaoke operator next time, that would also help.
None of these reasons are the reason Pete is on probation, but he's still on probation.
Definitely still on probation.
That's it. Anybody else got anything to add?
No.
Thank you to our live audience.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you, Steve. We're proud of you, man.
Loud applause.
Yeah, the applause just brought the tent down. All right. Thank you for listening. Podcast party, August 4th, Matchbox. It's going to be a big one.
A week from today.
A week from today. That's right.
1 week from today.
There's also a rumor. So what we have agreed to is a podcast every day the Redskins are practicing in Richmond at training camp.
Oh, I've been hearing this rumor, JP.
There's a rumor of a bonus pod. There's no practice on Monday. There's a rumor of a bonus podcast coming out Monday morning anyway, just because we love it.
And it'd be a damn good podcast.
How about that? All right, we're done. Made it this far. I owe you a beer.